And welcome to another episode of
Trash or Treasure,
the podcast where Kim
and Amy
bring you spoiler-free recaps, reviews, and recommendations for whatever we read this week. Amy, what did we read?
We read A Scandalous Kind of Duke by Mia Vincey, which is the third book in the Long Hope Abbey series, not counting the prequel. Not, a beastly kind of elf.
Not counting the prequel and not counting the Christmas novella.
Correct.
And there is to be one more book.
Yes, there is to be one more book. So this was provided to us by Mia Vincey herself in response to me moaning about how I couldn't find digital versions of the books for sale in Australia. Thank you, Mia.
Yes, as always.
Very, very appreciative. We have enjoyed the world of Long Hope Abbey.
Yeah, I really have.
Are you going to do the spoiler-free recap?
Oh, I can do the spoiler-free recap. Right. I don't remember anyone's name.
I do. His name was Leo. Hers is Juno.
Excellent. So these are characters that we have been introduced to in previous books, because obviously we're up to book 3 or book 4 or book 4.5, depending on how you keep count. And Leo is a duke. He's the duke of something or other, and he's a very fashionable duke. He's always incredibly impeccably turned out. He's really like a severe kind of patron of the arts and of artists and industry and artisans, that kind of thing.
Severe is a good word.
He's really it's his bag. He's super duper into it. And it's what he's renowned for. He's renowned for like being a lover of beautiful things, beautiful objects. And he has known for years and years and years, Juno, who is the main character, the main female, lived with her cousins, was like dropped off by her parents who were like, being a parent's not really our deal anymore. Here, have a child. See you, bye. And she was raised really beautifully. Like, they loved her and it was fine. It wasn't
by the Cinderella Bell family.
Yeah. Who lived next door to the Duke's home. And so Juno and the Duke met each other. Juno and Leo met each other kind of like out for walks on their estates and stuff. And
because the Duke was a friend of one of the cousins.
Yeah.
Hadrian.
And so they ended up quite good friends. And their kind of backstory was that there was a moment where Juno was like, kiss. I love you and stuff. This is how I feel. And he was like, ugh. Couldn't possibly. No, I'm a duke. You're like someone's daughter. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
run away.
Anyway, so then years and years and years pass. And then we kind of catch up with them again when Juno is a reasonably successful, like she's able to support herself as an artist, as a painter, but not kind of like a wildly successful.
No, because she's female, so she's not allowed in the Royal Academy, things like that. Things so like she does portraits and
other bits and
commissions,
pieces.
Mostly.
And so she has a patroness at the moment, so she's like kind of trying to work to become like increase her popularity. Her cousins and the family that raised her, the Bells, are quite popular in society and in the town, and so she kind of gets a little bit of entrance because of them. But she can't like attend parties or anything. Her life is very solidly within the kind of realm of artists and bohemians. So she lives in her own home, but has like two people who live with her, and she pretends it's their house and she boards with them for propriety's sake. But for the most part, she like her house is and her studio is kind of this revolving door of artisans
and
members
friends.
Of the ton. And
she's friends with Annabella.
Yeah, absolutely. But but people are always coming and going.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Leo pops in and sees her probably about once or twice a week, but has reached this point where he has decided that he should marry. And so he, in this book, the kind of thing that comes to a head is he proposes to this girl who he's like, I think she'll be great or whatever, decides who he's going to marry and starts courting her. And kind of part of that is the family of the woman he is courting basically draws a line in the sand and says, look, a lot of people, there are all these rumors about you and Juno. And he's like, I don't really care what people say. And he's also had a divorce so he's already been married and has divorced the woman he was married to. So there was all scandal around that. And so they were like, look, you're kind of a bit scandalous to begin with. And now you're hanging out with this painter. His dad had a scandalous, like mistress kind of situation.
They are scandalous kinds of dukes.
1,000,000%. And so they were like, we need you to stop hanging out in
with Juno.
You can't see her. No more artists. No more going to her studio. Like, you need to sever that connection. And he was like, yeah, you're probably right. Like, that's, I can understand this from your perspective and I don't care. I could sever it. And then obviously as soon as that kind of happens, he's like, but maybe. And basically that's it. It's them trying to work out this lifelong friendship and what they both want and et cetera, et cetera.
How things could work or could not work over class divide.
Mm, and it is a pretty major class divide. But yeah, that's kind of it. That's the story of them. Amy, what did you think of A Scandalous Kind of Duke?
I smashed through this book.
So quickly. I watched you read it on the cover. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. Feels like I smashed through it in about an hour and a half. I read it so quick. It was one of those ones that then it was 2 o'clock in the morning and
yes.
I'd finished the book. I liked Juno. I liked Leo when he wasn't being a prig. Unfortunately, he was being a prig for a lot of it.
There was a lot of it where he was a prig.
That's and so I wanted to give him a big old slap, but I did have a lot of empathy with Juno and her position throughout.
She's in a very precarious, not quite belonging to either part of society kind of position. Yeah.
And like what he thinks, well, it doesn't matter what I do. And she's like, yeah, but it reflects on me.
Yeah.
And it matters to me because my position is so precarious.
Yeah.
I don't exist in either of these worlds.
Yeah. And I have clearly. No protection. Yeah.
I really liked the idea of how, like, what happens if you are a nonconformist.
Yeah.
I liked the little sort of exploration it did of that. Like, if you are going to be this member of the Ton and you're a nonconformist, what are the consequences? And if you're someone who sits in a different part of society, what are the consequences for you? And I thought that conflict was really interesting.
It blurred that line that is usually quite strong and solid in these kind of books. It really blurred that line between classes in a way that was interesting, in a way that was public as well, whereas you sort of only come across it when it's like, yes, I'm lower class, but now I've ended up, or working class, but now I've ended up in your household and it's private between the two of us and we fall in love and no one really cares and then we just go live in the country.
We're just going to, like, in the third Bridgerton novel.
Yeah.
About Benedict. It was, like, I thought some things could have been more explored in the story. Like, there were some bits where I was like, oh, that would have been interesting. Like, that emotional thing needed to be a little bit more delved into. That's really hard to sort of say clearly spoilering.
But I understand what you're saying.
But because of that conflict being, like, something that actually she had no power over, like, she couldn't do anything to change her position in society and she couldn't do anything to make herself less precarious because of the era that it was.
Yeah.
And that she was working and that she was female and she didn't really have anyone behind her. My goodness, I cried a lot.
Aww.
Because I was like, oh, she's so... It was, interestingly, this one was, like we mentioned when we did the Christmas novella, you were like, sex scenes? Really steamy.
Yeah.
This one was the least, like, the least amount of sexy times of the whole series.
Yeah.
Which was interesting because it was like this hand, you know, you have to sort of disconnect from each other. So it was almost like hands off.
Yeah, it was. Yep.
So I found it a very emotionally impactful book.
Yeah.
But it was my least favorite of the series so far.
Yeah, right.
So, and I think it's because Leo was too, there was too much priggery in Leo and I thought it took him too long to realise what he needed to come to terms with. And there were some bits that I just wanted a bit more digging down into.
Yeah.
What did you think?
I agree with, like, I pretty much agree, particularly with the Leo being a bit of a prig problem. Ultimately, the hurdle, the obstacle to them being together is that he's a duke and it would be so beneath him to marry her and she's beneath him, socially speaking. And again, like you said, she can't fix that. There's nothing she can do to change that. He just had to kind of either accept it or not accept it.
Yeah.
And so I, in a kind of disagreement, like as in a kind of half disagreeing with you, I think it could have been a novella. For me, it took too long Because nothing really needed to happen. Nothing really changed apart from the fact that her position became more precarious. And so then he was okay. He was like, well, if it's a choice between, you know, what is proper in terms of the dukedom and you ending up in the streets, then obviously I care more about you than the dukedom or whatever. And it's not, it's like, that's a massive oversimplification. So I don't even feel like it's a spoiler because it's that much of a simplification. But I really felt like it was just a lot of him umming and ahhing for so long. I don't like, again, this is totally like personal perspective. But if a guy ummed and ahed over me for like 20 years, it's a no from me. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't need insane levels of
introspection.
I couldn't sleep, or I need to like jump off a building. I love you that much. Like, I don't even need that level of love. But if it's an arm and an arm for 20 years, and then right at the very end, when it's like you have to break connection with her, he still ums and ahs for the whole book. The break the connection thing happens right at the start. I was like, this is too long. It's taking him too long to work out what's going on.
Maybe this is why I smashed it, because I was like, okay.
Yeah, not a lot happens in it. Like, it's not very plot heavy.
No, it isn't heavy.
It's just a lot of him being like, I don't want to. I want my cake and eat it too. Meh, meh, meh. So I kind of, I really struggled to like him. I also kind of struggled to like Juno at times because, and again, this is just a thing that I'm like, I put like her character in kind of one box, and I'm like, oh, like I found her a little contradictory, I guess was the problem for me, because on the one hand, she's like, I want to just be an artist, and I don't care if that means I'm going to be precarious. I don't care if it means that when I go to my cousin's place for dinner and they all go on from there to Lady Watcher Chops's ball, that I, of course, go home. I couldn't go to the ball because I am a bohemian who, like, I'm a very precarious person in terms of being proper or whatever. But at the same time, so she was like, I don't even care. I just want to be my own person. I just want to be independent. But she doesn't. She really wants him to love her and to marry her. So I don't love when female independence gets put. It's like people who go, no, I'm sure you'll want to have a baby later on. When you're like, I don't want to have kids. Oh, I'm sure one day you'll want to have kids. Why? Because I'm female and that's my job. And female independence in this book for me felt a little bit like, well, if I can't have him, then I'll just be independent and like stuff everyone and I'll just like whatever. But really deep down, she wants him to marry her and look after her. Can't some women just actually not want that and actually just want to be themselves by themselves? Like, do you know what I mean?
Yes, Kimberly, but this is the wrong genre.
No,
for that
I understand. But then don't
make her have
make her
traits.
Like that. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of, and it's not that you can't have strong, independent women who also get happily ever afters in a romantic context. I just felt like it. At times, I was like, "You're going to marry him at the end of this," and it seems like it's structuring it so that she should have to be kind of like grateful to him for overcoming and deciding it's okay to marry her, even though she's so far beneath him and he's going to just throw all caution to the dukedom winds, blah, blah, blah. But then I'm like, you're going to give up so much of who you are to do this, to marry him. Like, and I know that that's, and it's not as simple as that. I've read the same kind of idea in other books and been like, this is terrible. It's you are totally going to flush everything you've built down the drain over some guy. And it's not like this because they were friends and she loved him for so long. So it's not like something that's just popped up out of nowhere and it turns out she was just waiting for the right guy. So she has loved him forever and loving him and having what happened to them as teenagers and how it all fell apart and their friendship was broken and blah, blah, blah. That all informed her choices as an adult. And they do actually deal with it in the book. It's not, this isn't something that I feel like Mia Vincey was unaware of as she was writing it. Like, it's quite clear that this is a part of their character structure and it does get dealt with in the book. But I, at the end of it, I guess this all kind of led me to a place where I was like, I wonder if they're going to be happy. I wonder if at the end of the day, they're going to be happy together. And so, and I was actually really interested because, or like, I found it interesting and it made me kind of be like, I feel like me and Vincey and I are probably thinking similar thoughts about these characters, but because she gave us like a, this is what happened in the future. Like we got kind of a, like a very far flung kind of epilogue, not those epilogues where it's like 9 months later, such and such was holding a little bundle of joy or whatever. It was not that epilogue. It gives us like a much longer term epilogue about them as a Duke and Duchess. And I thought that was interesting because I was like, yeah, you would have to kind of, you'd have to give us that epilogue to give us some idea about
how it played out.
This was going to work for them because you can't just, like, I know it's probably the most unromantic thing to say in this context, but sometimes love just isn't enough. Like, sometimes you can love someone so hard and it's just still not enough because if at the end of the day what you want and what they want in order to be happy is mutually exclusive, then the only way for that love to work is for someone to give up what makes them happy. And then if you love them that much, you shouldn't want them to do that. So you end up in this kind of snake eating its own tail situation. It just keeps going round and round and round. But yeah, I don't know. I was like, I wonder if they would be happy. At the end of the day, I was satisfied by this book. I read it all the way through. I found him a bit annoying. And it was a really complicated relationship and a complicated situation.
I think this one was like, when we read a Simone St. James, and we're like, and then we go, hang on a minute. It was a good book.
Oh, it just wasn't. I know for all of that, I would still recommend.
That author's best.
Yes, yep. I would still recommend this book. It is very different in tone.
It is very different from
the
others.
Very different in tone to the other books. Like, literally, like you've been watching Bridgerton, and then all of a sudden, it's like Atonement. Like, it's a very.
It doesn't have the sparkle.
Yes. Yeah, it doesn't have the sparkle. It didn't have that kind of. It didn't just make me smile all the way through because their relationship, their friendship was really fraught and had so much baggage attached to it that it was really tumultuous all the way through, which I get. I understand why you had so many cries and just cried and cried through this book. But it, the bits that
tumult.
Made you.
Yeah. I'm like, ugh. And you're like, inconsistent.
Yeah. The bits that made you cry made me be like, I don't know how many more of these we need to go through. You just don't suit each other. Like, maybe it's just not a good idea. So, yeah, anyway, I would still recommend it. Have a read. I still, you know, I really enjoy Mia Vincey.
It's a great series. I've been really enjoying the series, haven't we?
Yeah, oh, so much. And I will read the next one when it comes out. It's supposed to come out this year.
It's about Lucy.
About Lucy. And I, by the end of that book, I was ready for a Lucy book, so I'll be ready by the time it comes out. But, yes, of the series, this is, I would have to say this is my trash one of the series. I won't go back and read this again. I'll have no need to ever reread this
book. Think I might pick it up and be like, what happened? And go flick, 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 flick. Oh, yes, okay. That was it, but yeah, it won't be the one. I'll read some of the others again.
Yeah, I love instead. Yeah, I really love this series, but I didn't love this book.
Okay,
so it's a trash for me, but recommend, go out and read it, why not? And also, just because something isn't simple doesn't mean it can't be good and interesting. I just, yeah, it didn't vibe with me. It's a recommend and maybe not a treasure, but not a trash from you? I don't know. You're always
one of my fence books.
You're so reluctant to have an opinion.
I'm not reluctant.
Why do we do this podcast?
I am not reluctant to have an opinion. It's because the word trash seems so harsh.
You invented the wording.
Ah!
Oh, my God. At any rate, thank you for spending some of your time. You don't have to listen to us bicker. We can do that, like, off air?
Yes.
Oh, whatever.
I'll be menacing to you off air.
Correct. Join us again next week. We'll bring you more spoiler-free recaps, reviews, and recommendations for whatever we read. And until then,
happy reading!
And just a quick reminder here at the end of the podcast that we would love to hear from you. We want your recommendations, the good, the bad, the interesting, doesn't matter. Please reach out, send us an email at trashortreasurepodcast@outlook.com. Or we are also available at the world's most awkward Twitter handle, which Amy has to tell you about. Listen to our Twitter handle. It's the greatest.
It's @_treasure.
Doesn't that just roll off the tongue?
And with those encouraging words, tweet or email us.
We love to hear from you. Happy reading.
Cheers.